Gabe kicked the door to the bedroom in, Eddie right behind her. I crouched in the bathroom, a towel haphazardly wrapped around me. My throat burned. Jaframel drove them back into the room and stood guard, not allowing any of them to come near the bathroom.
No, you're not going in there.
I don't care what you say, there's Danny in there, you can't—
Used to be Danny. That goddamn thing did something to her.
What the fuck did you do? Answer me or I'll—
Injuring me, if it is possible at all, will harm her. You don't want that. I can calm her if you leave. Leave now.
Shoot the fucker, Gabe. Shoot him!
Shooting me might possibly harm her. And if she is harmed, I will kill you both. This was the price I demanded of her, and she has paid. It is a private matter.
Shoot the fucker, Gabe! Shoot him!
Shut up, both of you, or I'll shoot you both! Now what the hell happened to Danny? What did you do to her? You better start talking.
There was a long, tense silence, broken only by the whine of an active, unholstered plas gun. Then more footsteps. A familiar tread.
Don't, human. She is dangerous. Fuck you!
A slice of light speared the darkness. I put my head on my knees, curling even more tightly into myself. He didn't turn the light on. I smelled him. Rank with dying cells.
Human? A smell I've never noticed before. Will I smell it everywhere, this effluvium of decay? How does Jaframel stand it? How can I stand it?
He didn't walk into the bathroom. Instead, he stood in the door for a moment, looking. Then he slowly bent his knees, knelt down, and crawled into the bathroom on all fours. Just a few feet in. The darkness wasn't helping. Neither was the electric light that poured through the door. Nothing was helping. Nothing would ever help again. He stopped just inside the door. I huddled against the antique iron bathtub. The sound I was making wouldn't stop, no matter how hard I drove my sharp new teeth into my perfect new lips. My DAT band was blinking.
It has to be reset. I don't scan as human now. I scan like a gene splice, like an aberration, like something other. He told me I wasn't a demon, I was Hedera. But what the fuck does that mean?
Jay seized himself to the side, sitting with his back against the wall. He sat for a few moments and then, slowly, he reached up into his linen jacket and pulled out, of all things, a pack of cigarettes.
He never used to smoke. I wonder if he got those from Gabe.
Mind if I smoke?
He lit up. The brief flare of the lighter seared my eyes. I huddled back even further. He didn't do anything.
Synthash.
It's a nasty fucking habit. But always gotta have a pack, in case some petty thug you're trying to ease needs one, you know?
I said nothing. Squeezed my eyes shut. Patterns of power shifted in the darkness under my eyelids. Patterns I had never seen before. Part of a demon's power. Shaking at the edge of my control, straining to leap free. He tapped the ash onto the tiled floor next to him. The tiles were dark green, with lighter green ones scattered every fourth or fifth tile. It was pretty, and kind of soothing.
I must have seen thousands of these in my time. Smoked a few, too. Have to take detox every 6 months, but it's worth it to see someone relax when you offer them a stick. You know they used to call these fags? You used to make them out of tobacco instead of synth ash. Nicotiana. Eddie still grows some of that shit.
His tone was so normal. So familiar. I opened my eyes, resting my cheek on my naked knees, watching him. He eventually finished the smoke and ground it out on the floor. I heard low shuffling sounds out in the bedroom.
Jaframel's trembling.
A fine, thin tremor raced through his bones. I could feel it in my own body. The demon's need of me. Like an addiction. Jace laced his fingers over his knee and leaned back into the wall.
I remember one time I was talking to this guy, and I had to find out what he knew. He was, you know, uncooperative. They'd already put him through the ringer by the time I got there. I took a look at the situation and settled down in a chair. Then I offered him a cigarette. I had the information in 5 minutes. Useful things.
More silence. Jace tilted his head against the wall. I caught the gleam of his blue eyes.
You remember that little slickboard shop we always used to get our boards tuned at? You still ride a Valkyrie?
He waited.
After jobs, sometimes.
I was surprised to hear my own voice. I sounded flat and bored. My beautiful new voice was ruined and husky, but still lovely. I felt Jaframel listening intently.
You always loved Valkyries. I think what you liked best about riding the board was the flying. The adrenaline. Made you feel alive, right?
A tear trickled down my cheek. Touched my knee.
So demon things can cry.
It was the first sane thought, and I grabbed it like a shipwreck survivor.
I miss Saint City. That noodle shop on Pole Street with the fish tank on the far wall. And that hash den we used to drink at. The one with the great music.
It closed down. Two hookers OD'd in a week. On tea-laced chill.
Shit. Damn shame. They played retro funk all the time, and Therm Condor.
And Siobhan.
The Drew Street Tech Boys, Audio Vracs.
Blake's Infernals.
Cruise Control, and the Hover Squad.
I hated them.
Did you? You never told me.
You loved them.
You bought me all 8 discs. Damn.
I incinerated them after you left.
Oh. I'm sorry, babe.
It sounded like he meant it.
Why didn't you tell me?
I was trying to protect you, Danny. If you'd known, you'd have come riding into Nuevo Rio with your sword out to save me. That goddamn honor complex of yours would have gotten you killed. Just like you're trying to get yourself killed avenging Doreen.
I have to.
Rigor Hall had taught me how to be hard. But to be hard was no use without your honor. Honor was everything. And honor demanded I avenge Doreen. Even if it killed me.
Even if it turns me into a gene splice apparition?
I know. You can't be anything else, Danny. I always liked that about you. Right out to your fingernails, you just can't be anything other than what you are.
Look what he did to me.
So what? You're still you. Still my pretty Danny Valentine. And while you're sitting here moaning about it, your prey is either getting away or digging into a hidey hole.
He shrugged, his shirt moving against the tiled wall.
We need you to finish this hunt, Danny. Gabe needs her own revenge on the Saint City Slasher. Eddie needs Gabe happy. I need Sargon Corvin dead so I can start living again and maybe prove to you I ain't so bad. You're letting us down, Danny. Come on.
It should have been a transparent ploy, but it needled me.
I'm letting Gabe down. She's dropped everything to come with me. And Eddie loves her. It must eat at him to see her unhappy. My hands aren't even my own anymore. But they'll do what I ask them to do.
I finally raised my head to find Jace watching me. He didn't look nervous, but the set of his shoulders told me he was tense.
I need some clothes.
You got it. Anything you need, baby.
Gabe examined my face.
Hades.
She handed me my sword. I took it, cautiously, but no blue fire bloomed on the blade. And it didn't hurt me. I glanced at Jaframel, who stood expressionless by the window. Darkness pressed against the glass. The rain had tapered off.
I wonder if the city is still burning.
Blessed weapons won't react to you. Ease your mind, Dante. Your blade is still your own.
I looked at the curved length of steel, closed my eyes, and thought of Santino. Opened my eyes. Blue ran weakly along the slight curve of the blade.
Anubis, I beg of you. Answer me.
I felt my tattoo shift on my cheek, the emerald sparking.
Oh, it still works. And if my blade is still blessed, I'm still one of the gods' own chosen.
I looked at Gabe. She wore her long black police-issue coat, a plasgun holstered under her left arm. I couldn't see her sword. She put her fists on her hips.
Well, damn. Better than an augment, I guess.
It was her attempt at humor, and it failed miserably. I was still grateful for it, though.
And so cheap.
I looked around in the ensuing silence, finally taking notice of my surroundings. The bedroom was wrecked. The bed was reduced to matchsticks and springs and strips of material. The chairs were splintered. The curtains were torn and there were a few impact marks on the walls. I took it all in.
Sorry about the room, Jace.
Gods, I sound like a vidsex queen.
It's okay. I wanted to redo it anyway.
Jace leaned against the door to the hall. His staff leaned next to him, the bones moving uneasily in the charged air. Eddie, his arms folded, hulked behind Gabe, stealing furtive looks at me and then at Jaframel, who looked just as he always had, except for the dark rings around his glittering eyes. He looked tired and somehow more human than I'd ever seen him. I felt his unwavering attention, his back to the window, but his entire body focused on me.
Where are we at?
I didn't dare look Gabe in the eyes. I didn't think I could stand to meet her worried, dark gaze.
Well, I've managed to get a nice stockpile of munitions. Eddie can have 3 Golemi ready for manifest in 2 days. And he's put together 18 fire starters. 48 hours, and we're as ready as we can be.
She looked at Jace.
I've got mob circle passports for all of us, and my second is already handing out the weapons. We've declared war on the Corvins. They just don't know it yet. Funny thing is, there aren't any of the inner circle left in the city. They've vanished, probably gone with Santina. I've given the orders to take out their holdings. As for us, we've got supplies and world-class transport. I'm ready to go whenever you are.
You're staying here. You've got to coordinate.
I'm going with you. If you don't like it, tough. I've got my own score to settle with Sargon Corvin, or whoever the hell he is.
I looked at him, my fingers tightening on the hilt. Gabe stepped back. Eddie slid his arms around her and they stood watching me. A kind of black fury welled up behind my breastbone. I swallowed, looking down at my sword. Blue light glittered along the blade.
Get me a map. Let's see if I can track Doreen's blood. If I can't, we still have Dake's tracker. We can hope Santino hasn't set up countermeasures.
I felt rather than heard Gabe's sigh of relief. Jace nodded, took his staff, and left the room. Gabe followed, pulling Eddie by the hand. The Skinlin sidled past me. Gabe paused at the door.
Danny?
Hmm?
I steeled myself, looking at the glitter of blue fire along the steel. Power. The changes had settled into me, and I felt the same humming force that lay over Jaframel flooding me. So much power. I didn't even need the city's well of energy now.
I could tear this whole damn house apart.
You're still my friend. No matter what you are, you're still my friend.
Startled, I half turned to look at the door. But she was gone, dragging Eddie after her. That left me alone with Jaframel. He studied me across the burning air. Finally, he moved slightly, clasping his hands behind his back.
I am not sorry.
Of course not. You're a demon.
A non-Kimmel. Not demon. Fallen.
His eyes did what his hands didn't. Touched my face. Roamed over me.
I will not give you up, Dante.
I don't belong to you.
No, you do not.
Why? Why did you do this?
If you were merely human, Vardamol might kill you. Now you are neither human nor demon. Neither man nor demon may kill him. That was the immunity given to him by the prince in return for his services.
What's Lucifer gonna think of this?
For a long moment, Jaframel examined me. Then one corner of his mouth quirked slightly up. The slight smile made my heart pound.
Ask me if I care.
Do you care?
No.
Well, that about sums everything up.
Except one thing. I stepped around a pile of splinters that had once been a chair. Approached him cautiously, my boots grinding against the plaster dust and small bits of wreckage on the floor. I held my katana to the side and stopped less than a foot in front of him, close enough to feel the heat radiating from him. His eyes held mine. But he didn't move.
Did you mean any of it? What you said?
Of course, Dante. Every word.
His eyes glittered feverishly, and a faint, almost human flush crept up his cheeks.
I believe him. Gods help me, but I believe him.
You're gonna have to tell me what all this means and what exactly I am now. After I kill Santino. There's a whole lot about my life that I'm gonna sort out once that motherfucker's dead.
Well, that sounded like me. At least I sound like myself inside my own head.
When he is dead, I will explain everything. My apologies, Dante. But I am not sorry.
Neither am I. He deserved the truth.
I just... It's a shock, that's all.
It took more courage than I thought it would. But I reached up and rested my fingertips on his cheek.
I never thought I'd even consider dating a demon.
I was still searching for levity, and failing miserably. His shoulders sagged. He closed his eyes, leaning into my touch. We stood there for a few moments before I took my hand away, and his green gaze met mine. His eyes seemed strangely dark now.
Now come on. We've got a demon to kill, and the egg to get back, and Doreen's little girl to save. We'll do some planning.
They ate dinner in the ornate dining room while I examined the map and checked my gear. I'd lost my scabbard, but Jace had an antique katana hanging on his study wall, so I took its scabbard. It was better than nothing. We weren't anywhere near ready yet, but I felt a whole lot better about the deal. I settled cross-legged in front of the fireplace, the chill of the climate control playing over my face, staring at the map. It unrolled in front of me. Hegemony territories in blue, free towns in red, Puchkin in purple, and the wastelands where nobody lived in white. There was precious little white, mostly around the poles and one spot in hegemony territory, the Vegas waste, where the first and only nuclear bomb of the 70-day war had dropped. I wondered why all the rooms had fireplaces. It was Nuevo Rio, it never got cold there. Gabe and Eddie had just held a fierce whispered conference. Now their silverware clinked against plates. Jace said nothing, staring at his plate as if it held the secrets of the universe. Jaffra Mill stood by the French doors leading out into the courtyard garden, slim and dark and utterly impenetrable. I held my hand over the map, trying to feel anything. Nothing. Nothing at all. I drew one of my main knives out of my coat. I set the blade against my hand.
Dante?
Calm down. Easy. Blood's what I'm tracking. Let me work.
He said nothing else, but I felt the weight of his eyes on me. I drew the blade against my palm, willing the blood to come out.
Yeah.
The new golden skin was a lot tougher than human skin. I almost had to force my flesh open. A thin line of smoky black blood welled up. The slash began to close almost immediately. I closed my eyes and my hand, slippery hot blood burning in my palm. Held my hand over the map.
Doreen. Doreen.
I had found her while on the Brewster job. The one that had made my reputation as a hunter, not just a necromancer. I'd taken the contract and tracked down Michael Brewster. Psychopath and serial killer. Brought him back from the free towns to the hegemony justice system, getting shot at, knifed, almost gang-raped by a circle of magi, and nearly burned alive in the process. It had been Doreen's distraction at the warehouse that had bought me enough time to escape the magi and go to ground, and I'd hunted Brewster down with increasing panic after that. The day after he was processed into lockdown, I flew back on the red-eye hover transport and sprung her from that whorehouse in old Singapore, using most of the bounty credit to pay off her tag fee and threatening the pimp into letting her go. She'd been in bad shape. I guess that when the rogue circle couldn't have me, they went for her. One scion almost as good as another, and a Sedain couldn't even fight back like I would have. Might have, if I hadn't been spell-tied and chained. Who was I kidding? I knew I wouldn't have been able to escape that without her help. Leaving her there was a shoddy fucking way to repay her for that, but I'd had no choice. It had taken a long time for either of us to get any real sleep after I brought her to Saint City. She would scream in the dark for months, nightmares torturing her until I woke her up. My bare skin on hers, her mouth meeting mine. our hair tangled together in the safety of my bed.
You saved my life. I owe you, Danny.
You saved mine too, Rena.
I wouldn't have survived that job without her. Or the years that followed, while I learned how to work the mercenary field and started tracking down criminals. The house I bought with the bounties became our house. She had always wanted a garden, and after Rigor Hall, I had wanted a space all my own. As a necromancer, I needed space and quiet. The house was the only piece of Doreen I had left. And Doreen had given me the greatest gift of all. She had taught me how to live again. Her pale hair, cut short and sleek, her dark blue eyes. She'd worked in a free clinic in the Tank District, and also patched up mercenaries in size when they played too rough. Quiet and serene, her mouth always tilted into a smile, her eyes always merry. The Saint City psionic population closed around her like a protective wall. Psionic healers, Sedain, were pacifists to a fault. They couldn't stand to hurt anyone. The pain they inflicted would rebound on them. They were helpless. So we all watched out for her. But it had done no good. The flowers. Blue flowers. I knew now that they were Santino's gift to the mothers of the future, but back then, all I had known was the threat to Doreen's life. And Gabe had been the only cop who believed me about the danger Doreen was in. I had moved Doreen from safe house to safe house, but the flowers always found her. Gabe and I had taken turns standing guard, frantically trying to dig up the murderer who seemed intent on stalking her. Once we blew his human cover, once we knew it was Modius Santino we were looking for and his company was seized, he went underground, and we had a week of breathing room before the flowers showed up again, and the last desperate endgame started. Always one bare step ahead, moving her around, hiding first in one part of the city, then another. And Santino had probably known all the time, I realized. Had probably simply played cat and mouse with us, allowing us to spirit her away, drawing out the final coup, finally moving in for the kill. His samples in that warehouse. Gabe had been called away on another case. Eddie had gone for supplies, and it was only me and Doreen, hiding in a shattered hulk of a pre-hegemony building, slippery blood in my palm. I felt the power take shape. My cheek ignited. The emerald sang. I reached into that place I had not touched since her death. The place inside me where her gentle presence had gone. First the sound, then his laugh. Doreen whirled, her pale hair ruffling out. I leapt to my feet, sword pulling free of the sheath, spitting blue fire. I shoved her and she fell, scraping both palms. Then the freight hovers, rushing past the warehouse. Here in the shattered part of town, they ran a lot closer to the ground. Projectiles and plasp bolts. I tracked the sounds, one gunman firing at us both. No, Doreen was trying to get up, but he was firing at me. He wanted her alive. I pushed her toward the exit.
Get down, Doreen! Get down!
Then I was moving, dodging the whine of bullets and plasp bolts. Skidding to a stop just as he rose out of the dark, the razor and his claws glittering in one hand, his little black bag in the other.
Game over.
I threw myself backward, not fast enough. The awful tearing in my side turned to a burning numbness.
Danny! Get the fuck out!
But she was coming back, hands glowing blue-white, still trying to heal, trying to reach me to heal me. The link between us resonating with my pain and her burning hands. Santino's claws slashed again as he tore into me. One claw sticking on a rib, my sword slashed at him. Too slow, I was too slow. Falling again, something rising in me. A cold, agonizing chill. Doreen's hands clamped against my arm.
warm wetness exploding. And so much blood. So much.
No! Doreen!
Still, her power roared through me as I felt the spark of life in her dim. She held on, grimly. A lace cutter. It took part of her femur. Blood dripped in my eyes, splattered against my cheek. Sirens. Doreen's death had registered on her DAT band, and aid hovers were dispatched. Too late, though. Too late for both of us. Passing out, I could hear the wet, smacking sounds as Santino took what he wanted. I forced my eyes open. His face burned itself into my memory. Black teardrops over the eyes, pointed ears, the sharp, ivory fangs.
Be human. Doreen. Doreen. Get away. Run.
Her soul carried like a candle down a long, dark hall, guttering, guttering, spark shrinking into infinity. I was a necromance. But I couldn't stop her rushing into death's arms. I came back to myself with a jolt. Tears slicked my cheeks. Jaffermel knelt on the other side of the map, his fingers clamped around my wrist. My finger rested on the map, far south of Nuevo Rio, in the middle of a field of white and the paler, non-hegemony blue of ocean. An island in the middle of a cold sea, almost in Antarctica. The last place anyone would look for a demon.
That's where he is.
My voice was making the map flutter against the floor, held down by my finger.
Right there.
Then that is where we will go. Dante?
I'm fine.
I wiped at my cheeks with my free hand.
Let go.
He did. One finger at a time. I looked over at the table. Gabe's fork was paused in midair. She watched me, her pretty face pale, her emerald flashing as the tat shifted against her cheek. Eddie stood, his chair flat on the floor as if he'd tipped it over. Jace had pushed his plate away and was staring at me. Blue eyes wide, fever spots of color high in each pale cheek.
Finish your dinner, then get some rest. We've got work to do soon.
The house slept. Gabe and Eddie were asleep, and Jace had finally stumbled off to bed, rubbing his eyes. They would need their rest. I didn't want to sleep. Instead, I walked slowly through the empty halls of Jace's mansion. I didn't know where I was headed until the front door loomed up ahead of me, and I put my hand flat against it. The power contained in Jace's walls resonated, slightly uneasy, and I calmed it as I would a rattling slickboard. Jaffermel was at my side, appearing out of the darkness with no warning. I'm not going anywhere, I just need some air.
And?
I didn't answer. Instead, I let myself out into the night. Outside, the plaza in front of Jace's house stretched away. Expanses of white marble. The edges dropped down, sheer rock, until the suburbs of Nuevo Rio splashed against the cliff. He'd chosen this place for security, I guessed, and the metaphorical height. Jaframel closed the door behind me. I paced out onto the flat white expanse, glancing up at the sky. Clouds scudded in front of a quarter moon I had no trouble seeing. Demon sight was far better than human eyes. I could see every tiny crack in the marble, every pebble and dust mote if I looked for it.
Jaffra Mel, silent, halted at the bottom of the steps leading to Jace's front door. The stink of human Nuevo Rio, the sharp tang of power, vied with the night wind and the persistent smoky fragrance of demon. So what am I? What exactly am I?
Hedera, I am fallen, Dante, and I have shared my power with you.
That tells me a lot.
My hand tightened on my sword hilt.
Why don't you ask me what you truly wish to ask me, Dante?
Can I kill you?
Perhaps.
What happens to you if Santino kills me?
He will not.
The stone rang softly underfoot as Jaframel's voice stroked it. His voice was almost physical now, caressing my skin as nothing else ever had. It reminded me of the barbed wire pleasure, so intense it was agony, of his body on mine. I turned back, saw him with his hands clasped behind his back. His eyes gleamed faintly green. The darkness of his winged coat blended with the darkness of night, a blot on the white stone.
That's not an answer, Tears Jaffra Mel.
Saying his name made the air shiver between us. He tensed. My thumb slid over the katana's guard. His dark eyes flicked down, then back up, a glitter showing on their surface from the moon. The pale crescent slid behind clouds again, and he went back to being a shadow. If I concentrated, I could see his face, decipher his expression.
You do not want to question me. You want to fight.
Damn, got me pegged. It's what I'm good at.
Why must it always be a contest with you?
I could see he was smiling, and that managed to infuriate me.
Why don't you carry a sword?
I have no need of one. Would you like me to prove it?
If you can beat me, Santino will...
Santino preys on humans. He is a scavenger. I was the Prince of Hell's right hand, Dante.
What did you prey on?
Other demons. I have killed more of the greater flight of hell than you can imagine.
His lips peeled back from his teeth. One of those murderous, slow grins. I tried to feel afraid. Every other time he'd grinned like that, my skin had gone cold with terror. Not now. Now I remembered his mouth on mine. Remembered his hands on my naked skin. I almost drew my katana. 5 inches or so of bright steel peeking out. No blue glow. He still smiled, watching me. I wished for my normal human terror with a vengeance that surprised me. I never thought my own fearlessness would be so scary. I'd lived with comfortable fear for so long.
Did you plan this? Or did Lucifer?
Lucifer did not plan this, Dante. He will be exceedingly displeased. No demon plans to fall. To become a non-Kamel is to give up much of the power and glory of hell.
You can't go back? What about being free? He shrugged.
There are other kinds of freedom. My fate is bound to yours, Dante. I am bound to finish the prince's will in this matter, and then we shall see, you and I, what compromise we can reach.
I closed my eyes.
You're so sharp and prickly, aren't you? So tough. Someday, you're gonna find someone. You can't bamboozle, Danny. Someone's going to find out what a soft touch you are. And what are you going to do then?
I'm not soft. Doreen had let her fingertips slide over my hip. A soft, forgiving touch. Doreen. I'd met Jace at the party we threw to christen the house, and he started coming around after Doreen died, doing repairs, showing up once or twice while I was on a job to watch my back, and going out on a limb for me during the Freeman Tarks bounty, the one that had given me the worst case of nerves from a bounty ever. I still had nightmares about being trapped in the rain, Tarks beating me with a crowbar until Jace appeared out of nowhere and took him down. Even when Jace had started to actively court me, I'd kept him at arm's length. Everything had to be a fight between us. And he seemed to enjoy the battles as much as I did. exchanging sharp word for sharp word. Finally, a sparring partner I didn't have to hold back and be careful of. I opened my eyes, looked down at my blade, peeking out between hilt and scabbard. Slid the blade home.
What am I gonna do? Try to kill him because he's made me stronger? If Santino can't kill me now, if I'm quicker and tougher because of what Jaframel has done...
I didn't realize I was walking toward him until he moved down off the bottom step, opening his arms, enclosing me in the warmth of a demon's embrace. My shoulders dropped, the weight of uncertainty slipping away. In his arms, I could breathe, as if he carried around the only sphere of usable air on the planet. He kissed my forehead, gently. Fire sparked through my veins, recognizing the touch. Then his lips moved against my new skin.
If you wish to fight me, Dante, fight me. If it will ease you, I will play that game. Or we can devise new ones.
I hadn't thought it possible that a demon could seduce me. But seduction was what demons did. Cajoling, enticing, fascinating, tempting. They made it into sport and had a long time to practice. He kissed my cheek, the corner of my mouth. I tipped my head back, and his mouth met mine. This kiss wasn't like the first. It was gentler, softer. A sharp, greedy demon I could fight. Jaframel. Gentle, sharing his mouth with me as if he was human and mine. I had no defense against that. Jaframel led me through Jace's house, his warm fingers in mine. I cried without a sound, tears sliding down my cheeks. He closed the door of yet another bedroom behind us. He wiped away the tears, tenderly, and I forgot to weep as he told me, silently, everything I had always wanted to hear.
It's a 10-hour hover flight. You said we needed something that could go over water.
I eyed the freight hover, tucking a stray strand of hair behind my ear. It looked like a garbage scow, dirty and blunt-nosed. Her name, Baby, was perma-sprayed on her hull in pink.
Any particular reason why you chose this piece of trash?
Watch.
Jace lifted his wrist and tapped his datband. He was grinning, an expression he usually reserved for when he'd won a card game. The hover, almost as big as a freight transport, vanished. My jaw dropped. I saw the marble plaza, the smoke drifting up from Nuevo Rio in the background, hover traffic beginning to slide through the city once more, but no garbage scow. I lifted my own datband and scanned. Then I dug in my bag and extracted my dat pilot, scanned again. I thinned my shields and tried to find any electromagnetic disturbance. Nothing. If I hadn't watched it vanish, I would never have guessed.
Gods above and below, how did
Hegemony military tech, and a little extra.
Jace's golden hair shimmered in the reflected light from the vast marble courtyard.
I've got a great tech guy. And your demon's pretty useful. It's invisible to radar, deep scan, mage scan, and psi. It's faster than it looks, too, and it's combat equipped. Fore and aft plas cannons.
Yeah, but does it have that new hover smell?
Eddie handed me a small plas package full of 6 gray crystalline nubbins, each as big as my thumb.
Fire starters. Be careful, okay?
But his eyes didn't quite meet mine. I didn't blame him. I had trouble looking in the mirror and I was living inside this new body. Gabe shrugged, her coat settling against her shoulders.
I got the map. Let's get this show on the road, huh?
One second.
Jace pressed his dat band again, and the hover reappeared.
She only looks ugly, guys. She got a heart of gold.
He produced his chromium hip flask. An ash-smelling wind touched my hair. Nuevo Rio had stopped burning, but it would be racked with gunfire again as soon as Jace's lieutenants moved out into the city. Hours of frantic planning had narrowed down to this. If his network succeeded, Jace would take over all the Corfin family's assets in Nuevo Rio and probably elsewhere in the hegemony. It was the accepted method for a family to start out, in murder and fire after all the legal paperwork of incorporation was done. And we hoped it would distract Santino. He was arrogant enough to think that if we were attacking the Corvin family, we weren't going after him, right?
Wrong.
Jace unscrewed the flask, took a swig, rolled it around in his mouth, tossed it back.
We who are about to die salute you.
He handed the flask to Gabe, who glanced at me.
A sort of ritual. Every time we started a job, we would take a slug and give a quote. Good luck.
She shrugged.
Let the gods sort them out.
Her cheeks flushed pink and she grimaced.
Oh, Hades love me, that's foul.
Eddie took the flask. Eddie took a long swallow.
Fortis fortunam, you have it.
Eddie blinked watering eyes.
Oh, goddamn, Jace. What is that?
Jungle juice.
Jace was smiling and his eyes glittered madly. Eddie handed me the flask. If it was a gesture, it was a good one. I tipped it into my mouth. A long swallow. Felt it burn fiercely all the way down.
Go tell the Spartans passers-by that here, obedient to their orders, we lie.
It was just as awful as every other time I'd tasted it. I gave the flask back to Jace, who watched me for a moment. Had he been watching the flask meet my mouth? The way my throat moved as I swallowed? Maybe. Then he passed it over my shoulder to Jaframel, who stood dark and silent as ever.
Take a swig and give a quote. You're one of us.
I don't know what it cost Jace to say that, but I was grateful. I bit my lip, sinking my teeth in, but nobody looked at me.
I suppose he is. He saved Danny's life.
And got her involved in this in the first place. Ow!
Gabe elbowed Eddie, her emerald glittering in the late morning sunlight. The afternoon storm was just beginning to gather on the horizon, a dark smudge. I could smell approaching rain and nervous, peppery adrenaline from them all. Except Jaframel. Jaframel took the flask, lifted it to his mouth. He took a quick, single swig. His eyes dimmed slightly.
Atai, itari, anan kimelin, dirin.
He handed the flask back to Jace.
Don't mention it.
Jace tipped the flask, poured a smoking dollop out onto the marble, and then capped it deftly.
Well, if we're gonna make a suicide run, let's get on with it.
Let's hope it's not suicide. I've got property taxes. I can't afford to die.
I watched out the window as the dark nighttime ocean slid away underneath us. Jaframel leaned against the hull on the other side of my window, looking out as well. The hold was fitted with utilitarian seats, the entire back section filled with crated supplies.
I hope we don't need everything we've brought. We could hunt Santino for months on what we've packed. If I have to spend months doing this, I'll probably go crazy.
Gabe, strapped into the captain's chair, piloted us with a deft touch. Eddie paced down the length of the hover's interior, silently snarling, whirled on his heel, paced back, stared out the front bubble, then whirled back and repeated the whole process. He was readying the Golemi to be released. They were a Skinland's worst weapon, the mud things. I felt a small shiver trace up my spine. Jace leaned back in his chair, his eyes shut. It was his usual pre-job ritual to sit quiet and still, maybe going over the plan in his head, maybe praying, maybe silently chanting to Aloha. The thorn-twisted tattoo on his cheek shifted slightly. And me? I sat and stared at my hands, clasped loosely around my katana's hilt. Golden skin under my rings. Light sparkled under the amber and moonstone and silver and obsidian. They shifted with power constantly now. Demon fed. I had far too much now. Too much to control. Power jittered in the air around me, working its way into my brain, teasing and tapping and begging to be used. I slid my katana free just an inch or so and watched a faint blue glow play over the metal. The song of my rune-spelled blade, familiar, resonated under the whine of hover cells. I looked up at Jaframel, who studied the waves, his profile sharp and somehow pure in the blue light. I blinked. His eyes were no longer bright laser green. Instead, they were dark, dimming. I shoved my katana back into its sheath.
Jaframel.
He glanced at me, then smiled. It was a shared, private smile.
I was lying in bed with him just this morning.
A hot flush slid up my cheeks.
Your eyes.
Jaframel shrugged. It was an elegant movement. Would I share his grace? The aura of power that followed him around.
There are worse things.
Then I flinched.
No. I'm human. Human.
Then I realized for the umpteenth time, my fist clenched on my katana's hilt.
No, I'm not. Not human.
Dark now. Probably. I am glad of it.
Why?
His smile widened slightly.
It means I am no longer subject to hell. Only to you.
So you're technically free? You can walk away from this?
Of course not. It simply means that once the egg is returned to Lucifer, I stay with you.
I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with that.
I went back to staring out the window.
What is he likely to have on that island, Jaframel?
Several rings of defenses, human guards, other things. It is impossible to guess. Best just to wait and see.
Like a standard bit on a military installation. Can't tell until we get there. Gonna have to just go loose and fast. Not enough time for proper intel.
We'd gone over this before, but the conversation was comforting. Better than the silence, anyway. But something was bothering me. Some question I couldn't quite frame.
Well, if we're invisible, we can recon a little before we send their asses to hell.
He glanced at Jaframel.
No offense.
None taken.
I watched the sea heaving below. I'd never liked the sea. Anything that big and unpredictable gave me the willies. Ditto with thunderstorms, some of the major works, and demons. The question clicked into my conscious mind as I sat staring out the window.
Just how exactly did Santino escape hell? He's scary, much scarier than any human monster I've faced. But still, I've seen hell now, and it doesn't seem likely that Santino possessed the kind of power necessary to wrench himself out of the prince's grasp, especially with something so valuable as the egg.
Of course, the egg wasn't often used, so it was probably guarded. Guarded by a demon Lucifer thought he could trust. My eyes traveled up Jaframel's coat, fastened on his profile.
I do not want to be thinking this, especially since I just spent the morning rolling around in bed with him. He hasn't let me down yet. I can ask him the hard questions later. If there is a later.
We had about 4 hours before we reached the island, and then we had to find whatever installation Santino had there, and then we had to crack it and kill him. And rescue the little girl.
Doreen's daughter. Or Doreen cloned. Lucifer cloned with a bit of Doreen. One quarter, one half, how much? Does it matter?
Of course not. I owed Doreen. If nothing else, she had given me my body back. Made it possible for the terrified girl inside me to finally go to sleep. And the adult begin to come out.
Oh, come on, Danny. What are you gonna do with a demon child? Play mommy? Send her off to school and hope she doesn't burn the whole goddamn place down?
I lifted my katana, resting my forehead against the sheath. I was glad we were running dark so I couldn't see my reflection in the window glass.
It doesn't matter. You can't hand a little kid, Doreen's kid, over to Lucifer. You just can't. What will he do to her? You owe Doreen. She saved your life at the expense of her own.
There I was, sitting in a retrofitted garbage scow, dragging my best friend, and who qualified as my best friend now if Gabe didn't, and her boyfriend into this, and Jace, and Jaframel.
He could probably take care of himself.
Or could he?
Why the hell am I worrying about him?
I lowered my katana, drummed my fingernails on the hilt. Jaframel?
Dante.
Are you vulnerable now?
Not to humans. To some demons, perhaps. Not many.
Is Santino one of them? He shrugged.
I am not worried about him.
That's not an answer.
You have grown more perceptive.
And you're giving me the runaround, which means he could hurt you.
The power contained in the egg might conceivably damage me. However, I am not the one he wishes to capture.
Jaframel was a statue of darkness now. Only his skin faintly luminescent.
He shot me. I doubt capture is on his laundry list where I'm concerned.
If he wanted to kill you, he would have eviscerated you, Dante. He could have. Instead, he only shot you, knowing we were close enough that your condition would delay us. He obviously means to recollect you at his leisure, which means he has a plan.
That didn't help me feel any better.
It doesn't matter. As soon as my family moves in the Corvins, all Santino's neat little plans go out the window. He won't have any resources left to fuck around.
I doubt your move on him is unanticipated.
I tensed in my chair.
Still doesn't fucking matter. We're taking him down.
He swung around to pin us all with a ferocious glare.
I ain't come all this way and been beat up and stuffed in two hovers to let him get off with just a spanking. Besides, we got the Gabrielle Spokarelli and Jace Monroe and Danny Valentine version 2. Kick-ass demon necromance with her own pet demon boy. And you've got Eustace Edward Thorsten III. Skinlan sorcerer and pretty pissed off dirt witch berserker.
He showed his teeth, lips peeling back.
He hurt my Gabby, and I'm gonna make him pay.
It was the longest speech I'd ever heard from Eddie. Gabe didn't twist around in her seat, but I could tell from the set of her shoulders that she was smiling. Jaframel had turned and was regarding Eddie with a faintly surprised look. Jace grinned, his eyes closed, his head lolling back against his seat back.
Thanks, Eddie. I feel better.
And the funny thing was, I did.
Holy motherfucking shit! Would you look at that?
What about the radiation scans?
Flatline. They can't see us.
Jace leaned over Gabe's shoulder, buckling his rig.
Goon. Damn.
Impressive. Looks like a bad Hollowvid villain's hideaway.
Below us, the icy sea broke, foaming against sheer cliffs. The island was a hunk of rock rising from ice floes, and the castle crouched atop it, spires of stone rearing up from darkness, decked with tiny yellow and blue points of light. It looked like something out of a gothic fairy tale. Spire upon spire. Screaming gargoyle shapes torn out of the stone.
Get me a laser print of that.
Jace's fingers danced over a keyboard.
Are you sure we're invisible?
Eddie tore the paper free and smacked the printout down on a small fold-out table.
Looks like anti-aircraft batteries here, 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 and here. They knew we were here, they'd blast us out of the sky.
I passed my palm over the smooth paper. We'd done our final equipment checks. All that remained was to actually drop out of the side hatch and start causing trouble.
Jace, get me a couple of different views. Gabe, keep us going slow. Mage scan shielding is no good unless we drift a bit.
I know, Mom. Let me fucking drive, okay?
They're unaware. Dante, this place is heavily guarded.
Good. The more confusion, the better. Jay slayed another 2 printouts down.
More?
My eyes met his. It was a moment of complete accord. The kind we used to have while we were working together.
Can you penetrate the shielding?
That is no trouble. Santino has no demon shielding. If he did, Lucifer could track him. He is naked here, depending on secrecy.
Good. I spread my hands over the printouts. Jeffermel, make sure I don't bleed through.
Of course.
I focused, looking for the link I'd followed before. It was weak. The child wasn't Doreen, and she wasn't human. But then again, neither was I. Not anymore. I followed the thread-thin cable stretched tautly over the roiling sea below. Reaching. Reaching. Contact.
Who are you?
The voice was familiar somehow. As familiar to me as my own. A wave of heat sparked up my arms into my bones. My heart pounded. A mouth full of copper. Disengage. Ripping free. Link, open. Too open. Salt against raw wound.
Doreen!
The memory of Doreen tilting her head back, her hands full of blue-white fire, her blood everywhere.
Who are you?
The contact stretched. My mental fingers froze, unable to let go as whoever it was.
The kid? No, no kid can be this strong.
Examined me like a fly caught in a glass. I stumbled back. Jaframel caught my shoulders, steadied me, absorbed the backlash of power. He rested his chin on top of my head.
Dante?
Fine.
My fingertip glued itself to a space on the printout.
Whatever that is, it's not a kid. It looks like a kid, but it's not a kid. But it's Doreen's, and I promised.
She's here. We hit here the hardest and extract her.
Sounds good. I'll put old Betsy here on autopilot.
I looked up at Eddie. The shaggy blonde skinlin hitched his leather coat higher on his shoulders, then checked his guns for the umpteenth time.
Maybe you should stay here, Gabe.
Fuck that!
With the coordinates entered, Gabe slid out of the captain's chair and picked up her rig, buckling herself into it. Projectile guns, plas guns, knives, and triggers for various spells settled into their accustomed places. Even in a rig, she looked impossibly elegant.
I'm not about to stay in here while you go and have all the fun.
You can pilot this thing. We need a getaway driver.
Quit fussing, Mom.
She shoved a pin through her braided hair.
Why don't you just stay up here and cover us?
That's Jace's job.
I looked down at the printouts. My finger rested over one of the yellow points of light, low down on the south side of the castle, in one of the most difficult to access parts.
Jaframel, can you, fly?
I can get you into that window, Dante. I can't carry more than one, though.
Don't worry about us. We brought slick boards.
I don't suppose I can talk you out of this. I rolled my head back. Jaframel's lips met my temple. Jace glanced down at the printouts. I tore my finger away from the table. My heartbeat took on the usual pre-job pace. Too quick to be resting, too slow to be pounding. Adrenaline flooding my bloodstream.
Wait a minute. I'm not staying here. You need backup.
I've got Jaframel.
It was out. Jace's mouth twisted down at the corners. Jaframel's arms tightened slightly. The mark on my left shoulder flushed with velvet heat.
We're too small a group to leave anybody topside. We need everyone we got down there making trouble.
You're all fucking crazy.
I put my hand out, palm down over the table.
All right. We all go in together.
Gabe placed her hand over mine.
All together, and the gods help us.
Eddie covered our hands with his hairy paw.
Fuck 'em all!
Jace, then.
I won't be left behind. Not on something like this.
Jaframel paused, and then slid to the side. He laid his hand over ours.
May your gods and mine protect us.
I didn't know demons had gods.
Gabe grinned.
It was her combat grin, light and fierce. We broke as if at a prearranged signal, and I looked up at Jaframel.
Be careful, okay?
I rubbed my katana's hilt with my thumb. His face was as grim and murderous as I'd ever seen it. The eerie green glow from the instruments bathed him in a radioactive aura.
Do not worry over me, Dante. I have fought many battles in my time.
I looked down at the printouts, my mouth dry. The place was massive, and I had no clue where Santino would be hiding. Jace opened the side hatch as the hover drifted.
That bends!
The comlinks in everyone's ears came to life.
Oh.
I shook my head. I hate comlinks. But I couldn't spare the concentration keeping a telepathic five-way link open would cost me. I held mine up, Gabe and Eddie copying me. We were all three keyed into the hover's intranet, which meant we could track each other with our dat bands. Gabe extracted a long Neo Show slickboard from a crate in the pile of supplies. I checked my plas gun for the 50th time. Eddie took the Neo Show and Jace pulled out his chair void. Gabe grinned.
See you in the funny papers!
Eddie followed, coasting his slickboard out into the jet stream and leaping, the green-yellow glow of Skinlin's sorcery limbing him. He triggered the Golem Eye to start the distraction. Those mud-like creatures gave me the willies.
Jaframel, just cause as much damage as you can once we've grabbed the kid. Level the whole place if you can.
He nodded curtly, his coat beginning to stream and flap, separating in front. I swallowed hard. Jace dropped out the hatch, two plas guns already in his hands, his sword tucked through his belt.
Okay! Catch me!
Jaframel nodded. I didn't wait for more. Before I could lose my nerve, I ran for the hatch and launched myself into the night. We were too small as targets for the anti-aircraft battery.
Whoa!
By the time I found myself yanked up in Jaframel's hands, the first Golem Eye had manifested. It was 7 feet tall, built out of what looked like sentient, humanoid mud with glowing yellow spotlight eyes. It landed on the battlements. Cold. It was brutally cold. The wind sliced through me. Jace bobbed and wove underneath us, skating his slickboard fast through a collage of plasgun bolts.
Where are those coming from?
I tossed a fire starter into the wind. A breath of power made it arrow off toward the outcropping where human guards crouched, raking us with plasgun fire. The resultant explosion briefly turned the night a lurid orange, and I saw Gabe and Eddie had already reached the south side. Gabe wove among plas bolts with incredible grace, as if she was tagging slow hovers back in Saint City. Jaframel glided now, angling to keep us out of the way of the plas bolt crossfire. One gun emplacement exploded. I caught a whiff of Gabe's power. She'd used a fire starter. Jace sewed his share of fire starters in a crisscross pattern, taking out a whole tower. Stone crumbled. Then he went streaking over the battlements, sword in one hand, plas gun in the other. A plas cannon bolt clipped the edge of his shielding, and he almost lost his slick. We were on the north side, Jaframel and I, about to make the sharp banking turn that would bring us back around and drop us into position to run for the spot in the castle where I'd felt Doreen's kid. There was a bank of guns here, too, beginning to move on their gimbals to focus down on the other three. I flicked a fire starter.
Drop me!
Wonder of wonders, Jaframel obeyed. Whoa! I hit hard, rolling. Jaf was right behind me. My body moving with instinctive speed and precision, I leapt. Catching the iron bar that the gunner was standing on, found his ankle, and yanked. He tumbled off into the wind, lost in all the ruckus.
Heavy fire!
I'm on it!
I shimmied up while Jaframel dealt with the other human guard. My conscience would prick me later. But they'd signed up with Santino. They took their chances. I swung the plas cannon and yanked back on the trigger bolt, praying.
The bolts raked the other end of the wall, exploding cannon after cannon. Prayers answered. I flicked another fire starter at the cannon as Jaffermel grabbed me and flung us both out into the empty air.
No, isn't that better?
Let's get this over with.
I glanced down. We were losing altitude fast.
Direct me, Danny! Two windows up, straight in front of you. That's where the kid is. Pull up and watch your left. There's a bunch of flash gun coming your way.
Got it!
Flame bloomed again.
Holy fuck, we're doing a full-scale frontal assault on a demon's hideaway and getting away with it!
Then things started to get interesting. I didn't want to see how Jaffermel was flying. Or gliding, actually, since we seemed to be falling pretty rapidly. He aimed for the kid's window and I spent a few moments with my eyes closed, feeling for her, letting him take care of it. The flare of her presence was close. So close.
The entire fucking place down, Jaffermel!
Jaffermel pulled on all the power he could reach. A thin, white-skinned shape blew out on the backwash of the explosion. It might have been Santino, my prey.
If it's him, that won't kill him. Not even a drop like that will kill him. He's a demon, even if he's a weak one. He's too strong, we're too slow, we're moving too slow!
Jace nipped neatly inside the hole torn in the south side of the castle. Jaffermel let go of me, and I tumbled through empty, frozen air.